Hello and welcome to the Gnostic Waves, the program devoted to all things mystical, philosophical and psychological, with a practical component, a meditation practice at the end of the program. So welcome, thanks for joining us if you're a regular listener or if you've just joined in for the first time. This program runs weekly for an hour. There is a website for the program. It's gnosticwaves.com. So that's gnosticwaves.com. And there's a newly created email address. So always welcome questions or comments either on the website page or the email address, which is gnosticwaves@gmail.com. So spelt the same way as the website, gnosticwaves@gmail.com. And there is also the phone line here at the station to call during the music breaks is on 8250 3735. So that's all the contact information if you feel the need or inspired to ring in. So tonight's topic I'll be talking about is on the lunar influence. And so I ask, who doesn't look at a spectacular full moon and not be in complete awe at the sight, to not feel the mystique and the allure of what's called the lunar force? So if you, like me, have this same amazement when gazing at the moon, particularly when it's full and most powerful, then today's talk is for you. So I'm going to be talking about how the moon influences us and also how we learn to overcome this influence, to become more conscious of the effects and how to overcome these. So this may be a new concept to us, that the moon has such a profound effect on us. We may be in disbelief, but hopefully in this show I can talk and show, convince you that to start observe the effects, both physically but more so psychologically. So in this program we're interested in those things of a psychological nature. So the most notable observation of the moon, very generally speaking, is on the tides of the ocean. Now, the moon affects the tides, so coming in and going out, the high and low tides as they're known, and mainly this is due to the moon's gravitational pull on the Earth. But there's also other factors too, because there's not just one high and low tide, there's multiple ones. And there is a science behind that, which is not what this show is dedicated to, but most people would accept the effect that the moon has on our oceans. Now, the oceans, or all the liquids, are affected by the force of the moon. And as we are 80% water, so in our cells, a lot of the constituent of our cells is actually fluid, cellular fluid. So we have our lymph fluid, we have the cerebrospinal fluid, and we have lots of other different fluids in our physical body. So it makes perfect sense that we also are affected, that we have tides, high and low tides, that are influenced by the moon, and that it would affect our movements. So we may not have thought about that our movements, our habits are also, influenced, which is a really interesting point. Anyways, the other things, observations we may have observed is that growth and conception are affected by the moon, and particularly for women. So the women's menstrual cycle is normally 28 days, and I know that this isn't often the case. Often it's longer or shorter, but the ideal length mimics the cycle of the moon. And then also we have the babies that are gestating in in the womb for around 9 months. So that's another a reference to the cycles of the moon. Okay, so the moon is said to directly influence all human, animal and vegetable behaviour. So it's pretty consistent among our Earth, our creation. So esoterically speaking, the Earth and the Moon have a very special relationship. So if the Earth is our mother, so we often hear the term Mother Earth, then the Moon is our grandmother. And they have a special relationship because they share a vital body. Our vital body is, very simply put, the source of our vitality, our life force, our life spark. It is the reason why we are animated. It governs a lot of different processes, and our physical body without the vital body is pretty lifeless. The vital body is part of the fourth dimension, and it's related to this, you know, what we know as the Eden, the paradise, you could say. So we're most common from that from the Bible, and this was mentioned, must have been last week, regarding the fall. So part of that fall is falling from the fourth dimension into the physical dimension. So in a lot of places that is how that is explained. But anyways, that's just an aside there. So not only does the moon affect the waters of the earth, but it also affects our symbolic waters. So our vital body is more like our emotional and our sexual energies. So we are affected vitally. Our vitality is affected, is fluctuating because of the moon as well. So when the moon is at its fullest, it is affecting us more, more emotionally. We might feel heightened emotions and also other heightened vitality, possibly libido. Okay, so we'll just go to a short music break, and I've chosen a track called Allegro con Brio. It's from a CD called 50 times Mozart, so that's 50x Mozart, track one, and then we'll be back to continue on the topic of the lunar influence. Okay, and we're back on the Gnostic Waves talking about the lunar influence. So that was a track by Mozart, or composed by Mozart. Okay, and continuing with the topic, I wanted to talk about the different phases of the moon. I mentioned just before about the full moon and the effects that that has. But the moon has other stages, so I'd like to talk through them, because each represent different things. So it'll make more sense as I go. So the first phase to begin with is the what's called the new moon. And so this is when the moon is located between the earth and the sun, and we can't see its illuminated side. And so that's basically when we don't see the moon at all. So that's its beginning. And it's said that in this phase, that is very weak phase for starting anything. So the moon's at its weakest point. It's receiving little force from the sun, and therefore it's not as highly charged. So therefore, it's suggested for not starting anything during this phase. So then the next phase begins after the new moon, called the waxing, or the waxing crescent. So this is when the moon is gradually becoming more illuminated. It's receiving more rays from the sun, and it is gaining force. So it's getting stronger, becoming more charged with solar energies, and as a consequence, we are seeing the more of the moon. So it starts off as a thin oh, it starts off as nothing, then it goes to a thin, very thin crescent, and it slowly builds up. And then we might, if we're sensitive enough, feel this build up, this waxing movement. And this is the best time to start something or any project, any new habit, any, you know, anything, a new relationship, if possible. It's recommended to start in this phase because it will have more force, more charge behind it because of the phase that the moon is in relative to the sun. So it's also suggested, so it's favourable for agriculture, favourable for sowing of certain seeds. And this is an interesting point. So why is it for certain seeds? It's said that when we start or grow things during this time, it's for things to grow quickly. Things to grow quickly or projects to start, take off. And so it would be seeds that would favour a slow, a fast-growing initial phase. Whilst I'm no gardener or horticulturalist, but I imagine that there's some things that would not benefit from that. So it's just something to keep in mind. It's also, they say to, if we want our hair to grow back quickly, we're trying to grow our hair, then to cut it during the waxing moon as well, because it's going to grow back quicker. All right, so the moon's building up in force until it reaches the next stage, which is the full moon. Now, the full moon is the most fully illuminated to us, and interestingly enough, it is only one side of the moon that we always see. So that man on the moon that we may have seen before is that side that we always see. And it is at that point fully maximizing the absorption of the sun's rays, and therefore that's the reflection that we see on the surface. The moon is full to us. It's at this point the most provocative, majestic and bewitching of its phases. So as I said at the start, that we look at it and we're just in amazement at it. It's, you know, it's quite beautiful. And I was reading up on the topic, and there's times when the moon appears bigger to us when it's on the horizon, as to when it's high in the sky, and that can be an optical illusion, but it also can be that there's different, the moon has an ecliptical orbit, and so at times it is closer to us, and other times it's further because of that orbit. But anyways, it's hard to go into that without a pictorial diagram. Another thing about the moon, sometimes I like to use the word ominous, so it can be very ominous. And this is used in certain movies and shows. You often, whenever you see the moon, it's often like a bright full moon. And, you know, often it's a sign of something is about to happen, or, you know, it's like a very electric, a charged moment of the movie that the full moon is representing there. So it's, you know, it's just interesting to observe these things and how the full moon influences things, not just like, you know, sorry, that its influence is used in media, in movies to, you know, emphasize that particular time of high energy. So the moon affects our subconscious. So it brings things that are normally in our subconscious into the conscious part. So it's sort of like that line between the subconscious and the conscious is lowered. And it's said that it brings out the lunatics. So the most common use of the word, you could say, is people that are a bit crazy, you know, a bit on edge. Although technically, if we're all affected by the moon, i.e. our waters, in our body and our emotions, then we all, to a certain extent, are lunatics. But I speak more about people that are particularly affected at this time. So it's said that in hospitals there's more, incidents, more cases of, people coming in, more fights, more violence, psych wards have more, activity, people becoming rowdier, less settled. So we have, just people being more out and about, more energy, and if there's going to be trouble, then it's going to be around a full moon. Therefore, there'd be more calls to the police and, to emergency services because of the effect of the moon. Generally speaking, I think some people say they can't sleep when there's a full moon, so it's like a lot of energy. And I've noticed that there's some full moons that are more powerful than others, and I'm not sure on the astronomy or the astrology related to that phenomena, but it's definitely true that sometimes it really can affect people's sleep. It's said that the full moon is favourable for astral travel and any type of other esoteric work. And I just wanted to mention this point, that the astrological sign Cancer is ruled by the moon, and so particularly natives of the sign of Cancer are notably going to be more affected by the moon, because that is one of the main governing planet. Okay, so there's lots of different things that I suppose it would be quite difficult to document, but I think most people understand the influence, particularly of the full moon. But whether people understand the influence of the other phases of the moon, I'm not sure. But it's really interesting to observe if we are, so interested to understand these phases. So the last phase is the waning phase, when the moon is receding. It's receiving less rays from the sun, and therefore it's minimizing to us. So it's reducing back down till it reaches the new moon phase again. And so when the moon is waning, it's said it's not recommended that we start anything in this period, because it's a time of reducing of force, not a building up of force. And so unless we want something to start slowly or slow growing, and so going back to the thing of cutting the hair, if we want our hair to grow back slowly, then it's recommended to cut it during the waning moon. And also suggested for pruning of trees. So I guess this is the same theory. But basically, anything that requires slow growth of planting or of any type of project, it could be okay to start in the waning moon. But for anything important that we want to, to take off quite impactfully, then it's best to begin in the waxing moon or the full moon. Everything else, if you can leave, then. It's best, but sometimes we can't. We don't have any control over this. And I suppose these days it's less common to consult astronomy or even astrology as to when a good date is for something. But then a lot of other traditional cultures, they would consult different almanacs to see when the best time to begin something would be. So it's just, something to keep in mind if we weren't aware of it before. Okay, so there's something, well, the main point of today's topic is that the moon is like a mechanical regulator. It's something like a pendulum that keeps us in rhythm. So it keeps a rhythm going both biologically and psychologically. Now, if you're a woman like myself, then you're pretty lucky to experience this rhythm or this cyclic occurrence related to the fertility every single month. So it's great, isn't it? So, if you ask a woman about the different cycles and then the different emotions that come up during that time, then it's pretty obvious, but perhaps it isn't so obvious for for men. But definitely it's not the only thing that we can observe. So the moon is sort of like the weight of a clock. So in a clock there's a weight that keeps that rhythm, and then the moon is like that to us. And then most notably with the high and the low tides, there is a rhythm in that. So much like we have that same rhythm governed by that cycle of the moon. Now, our waters are so physiologically our waters, but also our emotions and our vital energy is affected by the moon, as I mentioned before. And because of the effect on our physical waters, our movements and habits are also affected. And this is quite unconscious to us, that to relate the effect of the ocean and then relate it back to how we are affected, it's hard for us to be able to see that. It's a bit of a jump, a bit of a leap in faith. But these are just things that we can reflect on and hopefully to start to observe. And I wanted to add something, that if we're a bit skeptical about that something like the moon can have an effect on our emotions, our thoughts, our actions, then consider that we also have a strong effect by the sun. We could give a talk saying the solar influence, and we're strongly affected by the sun. And this is most noticeable on the first warm day we have after winter, when everyone's out and about and feeling really happy. That's something that for me is noticeable every spring, that those first warm days and just feeling that happiness. So that's an effect from the sun. Also, the first really hot day of the summer. So, maybe the past few days in Adelaide have been pretty hot, going up to 34, 36, which is not the hottest it gets in Adelaide, true, but it is the, a few really hot days, and then we start to become quite miserable. Not everyone, but there are definitely people out there, including myself, that just feel the effects of too much heat. And so it can affect us psychologically in that way. So on that note, we're also affected by other cosmic radiation. So the other planets in our solar system affect us. So we're probably not aware of it. And this is the basis of astrology, really, the different positions of the planets, where they're located in the different constellations. And so we may have heard that planets would be in retrograde. So the most common one is Mercury, but it's not the only one. When in retrograde, it's like the planet is retreating. So at any stage, a planet, the main planets in our solar system, moving towards us and then moving away from us. So when they're moving away, they're retrograde. They're not as powerful, not as impactful. And so that's just my very basic quick summary of that astrological phenomena. The point being is that we are constantly being bombarded with cosmic radiation. We have no idea on the effects, but through this talk, hopefully, we're starting to become aware of these energies, how they're affecting us. And then there is the common understanding, especially in the Gnostic teachings, that we're constantly assimilating and transforming radiation into the earth. As human organisms, we are transmitting. We are quite good transmitters. And also everything is transmitting these radiations. And so I reminds me of the film The Matrix, where they give that very the very extreme example that we are used as batteries, essentially, for, you know, artificial intelligence. So I'm not saying that that is the case. That's a very extreme example, but in a way it's sort of true that we are also used to, there's a certain function that is beyond our cognition that we exist for, and that we help to work and keep the planet stable, and a lot of other reasons too, but I thought that it's quite interesting to mention that. Okay, so moving on, the moon affects our emotions, it affects our vital body, it affects our libido, it affects our thoughts, and it affects our movements. So this is quite profound. And basically what results is mechanical behaviour, or we could even say cyclic behaviour. And it's not, this behaviour might not strictly be related to the cycles of the moon, but the point is that our patterns, our habits are cyclic and they're recurrent. And so part of the work that we aim to do is to observe these recurrences within us, our psychological habits, our emotional habits, and the actions that result in these habits. So really just trying to pick out our mechanical behaviour. Because well, what helps in this pursuit is that our egos are becoming predictable, or they are predictable, and perhaps we have trouble observing it in ourselves. But I could probably safely assume that most people would be able to observe it in others, so other people closest to us. So whilst the aim is for us to observe ourselves, sometimes it helps to just observe these traits in other people, because it's easier to see. But nothing that we see outside of us does not exist inside of us as well. So it's something to keep in mind when we play that, observation of other people game. Now, this mechanicity that we develop through our life often is based on the personality, but more so on the false personality. So our personality is everything that we are, essentially, everything that we've acquired, that we've picked up, copied, imitated from other people. And personality is something we've talked about before, but it's really interesting to mention it again. Haven't mentioned it in a while, but it is, the effect of our family, our culture, our religion, our upbringing, the people we're influenced by, our friends, our school, teachers, and heavily by the media. So if we watch a lot of media, then television, movies, our personality is going to be affected by these things. And the personality is very impressionable. So we can pick up traits from people without even knowing it. So I like to observe people picking up mannerisms, gestures, words from other people. Like, so you can tell when people are good friends because they start to speak the same, to do the same gestures and move the same way. And it's something that's not really, we do very subconsciously, and it happens without any cognition of it happening. And it's very interesting because that is the personality. The personality is imitating. It sees stuff and it imitates. It's quite fascinating, actually, how the personality works. You've got to admire it. But the personality it's not so conscious. It's just, if anything, it's just copying. It's copying things, people, everything around us. And so the false personality can develop. And this false personality is based on, it's more false than our regular personality. And it's hard to explain this, because our regular personality, or our, you could say our default personality, is the vehicle of expression that we've developed. So we've developed a way of being, of speaking, of, you know, how we are. And that is our personality. But the false personality is when we act through pride, through vanity. So vanity is a big one, because vanity is all about the surface and how we appear, or caring about how people see us and what they think about us. That's the pinnacle of vanity. And also things like envy and jealousy. So all these negative egotistical states can help us develop a false personality, where we care more about things, superficial things, than we do of very deep and real phenomena like our essence, the true essential nature of our being. And the way that we counteract the mechanicity of the lunar influence is essentially by developing a center of gravity that's not based in the personality, but is based in our essence, our essential nature. This is because our essence is the most true part of ourselves. As I said, the personality is what we acquire. We acquire it from other people. It's not so much that it's wrong or that it's right. It's just, it's not a true reflection of our true self or our true being. The personality is just, it's like a superficial structure. And being a superficial and mechanical structure, it's going to be more influenced, more swayed by things of an unconscious nature. So you could say that we are more controlled when we are less conscious of ourselves and what we're doing. So we're more susceptible to external influences. That's probably the better way to explain it. When we are more susceptible to external influences is when we don't really know what's going on. And there's lots of external influences that want to exert themselves on us. So we have the example of advertising. Advertising is quite a large way of trying to get us to buy something or buy into something. And so I realize now I'm skewing from the lunar influence, but the point here is to develop that conscious center of gravity. And so we're not so, we're not so easily swayed and influenced by external factors to ourselves. So there's one thing that helps us quite greatly in developing this conscious center of gravity, and that's meditation. Meditation helps us to go to that point within ourself, that true part of ourself, that essence, and to really fight hard to focus on that and to feed us. So we want to be fed by our essence and not all of these external factors, not anything of the personality, anything that we pick up from other people. You know, it might be good. We may pick up a lot of things from people that we trust and respect, and that's a good thing, but that's doing it in a conscious way. So we may pick up good things from our parents, but we do it consciously. And so meditation helps us to maintain that center of gravity within ourselves and try to become more true to ourselves and not so false. So there is that technique, very simple, but also there's the self-observation. So observing our behavior, our cyclic behavior, these recurring patterns, recurring annoyances, recurring grievances, and just to observe also our habits. So as I mentioned, that the moon affects the water of the tides and also affects our own internal waters. So, and this would affect our movements. So how we move, and those unconscious habits are what we really want to start to observe. Those things that we don't really need anymore, that waste our time, waste our energy. And I suppose I could end by saying to observe the effect of the subconscious. So, as I said, the full moon, the energies of the moon help to activate our subconscious, and this creates us to be thinking more, to be thinking in a way that we wouldn't normally be thinking. And so this something that we can observe, particularly at the full moon. But if we're really new to this concept, then we can just start to observe the cycles of the moon themselves, because that's something that we can do. We can get a calendar, a moon calendar. I recently acquired a moon calendar from the New Age magazine, The Inner Self. Sometimes they give you like a quarterly moon calendar, and it shows you the different phases. So that would be, you know, somewhere to start. But the main point isn't necessarily just about learning about the phases of the moon. It's about understanding our mechanical and cyclic behavior and learning to change that, to not be so susceptible, or at least to be conscious that it's going on. Okay, so I've just talked for a long stretch there. Let's go to another music break. This is track 3 from the same CD, 50 Times Mozart. And so we'll be back to do a meditation practice on the lunar influence. So making sure we're in a place conducive to do a practice to go within. Preferably somewhere we won't be disturbed, if that's possible. If we can, put our phone on silent. And sometimes it helps to light a candle. Again, if we're in the right environment to do that. But the main thing is to be able to withdraw within. And this can be done anywhere. It can be done in the middle of the city. Or it can be done in the quiet of a desert, in the middle of nowhere. In this practice, we want to find what is the essence within us and what is not the essence. For me, when I try and focus on the essence, I try and just focus on my inner vibration. My vibration that's not affected by my thoughts or my emotions. Just the way my essence, or the way my vibration is, just very normally, very naturally. It's nothing supernatural, it's very natural. So working with the breath, with every inhalation, breathing in fresh oxygen, with every exhalation, removing all things that will distract us from our essence, our inner, true, essential nature. Removing all thoughts of the day, all worries, all anxieties. All preoccupations of what we're going to do later on. And when we move these aside, we then can connect with the essence. When we find ourselves thinking about something the day we just had, going back to the breath, imagine the breath clearing the space that we need to focus, to concentrate on our essential nature. Allowing ourselves to connect with the essence, to reflect on this being our true self, our true center of gravity, that everything should flow from this point, our true essential nature. And for the last few minutes of the practice, I'd like us to do a reflection on the false personality. So this is things we've picked up from things that are not of our true nature. It could be false values that are imposed on us or that we impose on ourselves. That have an aim to impress other people, but really they cause us grief and cause us to not be true to ourselves. Therefore, it is false of the false personality. We need our actions, our thoughts, our emotions to arise from the essence, from the consciousness, conscious behavior. So by doing this reflection, we start to learn to identify what is false, and we compare that to the simplicity of our essence, which is what is true for us, what is true and what is natural. So that's all we have time for this evening. If you feel inspired to continue the practice on your own, then please do. It's a great practice to be able to connect with the essence at the very minimum, at the very maximum, to observe what is the false personality. But this is a reflection that is not an instant one. It needs to take time to observe these things within ourselves. Okay, well, thank you very much for your company on the show today. If you have any questions, or even if you have any experiences of full moon phenomena that you'd like to share, feel free to email us. It's gnosticwaves@gmail.com. That's gnosticwaves@gmail.com, and also the website, which is very similar named. Please do send me an email, or else I hope you can join me next week, Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. Adelaide time. So I hope you have a good week till then. And see you then.